This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Jack Monro made her name as a food blogger, writing recipes for people who, like her, were on the breadline. She had a budget of £10 a week to feed herself and her small son, and she managed to create healthy and tasty recipes. Well, she now has 2 million weekly visitors to her blog, writes about food for The Guardian, has become the face of Sainsbury, and has produced a book of recipes, A Girl Called Jack. And today she'll cook the perfect falafel. Why falafel, Jack?
I love falafels, and they're one of those things that for a long time I couldn't afford. They were mysterious, they were delicious, but, you know, at £3 a pop for a pre-made packet of them, they were just out of my budget. And then I was like, they're just made out of chickpeas and rolled into a ball with some spices. I can do that. And so I did some trial and error to get there. But here we are.
So how do you do it? What are the basic ingredients?
Well, for my ones, I make mine with carrot in them to make them sweet for my son. So these are a carrot and coriander falafel. But it's basically a case of slice up some onions, some carrot, some whatever herbs and spices you want to use, fry it all off together with your chickpeas, mash it up, bash it into a bowl with some floured hands, as you can see my nice floury hands here, and then fry them off in a saucepan until they're nice and golden on the outside.
So you fry up the veg and the chickpeas before you squash them
up? Yeah, I just stick it all in one pan. If you're using canned chickpeas, they'll be quite soft anyway. You can pre-boil them to make them easier to mash, but I've got strong arms, so I don't need to.
And what spices should there be in there? You said put in whatever you choose.
Well, I use cumin in mine and turmeric if I've got it available, and fresh coriander just to give it a bit of a lift. But any spices that take your fancy, I've got some readers that don't like cumin, so I just say just swap it out for any curry, any sort of hot spice would do really well in this.
And your son likes hot spice, doesn't he?
He likes hot spice. I've gradually got him used to it over the years. But if you've got small children and they're funny about spicy food, instead of, I've got mango chutney here that I'm going to do mine with, but you can give them some yoghurt in to cool it off and take away the spicy element of it.
And do you put them into pita bread, as I suppose traditionally one would do?
Yeah, I mean, I serve them as a side dish or as part of a main dish or in pita breads for lunches and things like that, snack on them straight out of the fridge. It's they're quite versatile.
Well, you carry on getting them ready for eating, which
I am
hoping to do shortly.
Pop one in here.
Where did you learn to cook?
Well, this is an interesting one, because I describe myself as self-taught, and I suppose that I am, because I never had any formal training. I've got no technical competence at all, and anyone who's sitting in the studio right now would testify to that. But I was always interested in food. I did home economics at school. It was a subject that I really enjoyed, but I didn't get very good grades in it because I'm not very academic. But when I left my parents' home in my late teens, I started to teach myself to cook. I looked up recipes on the BBC Good Food website, and, you know, that's such a great resource. I think I fancy panzanella, how do I make it? And I'd go and look it up, and over the past 9 years, I've accumulated a sort of smorgasbord of experience, and here I am with a book in front of me.
But you left your job in the fire service when your son was born because you were solely responsible for raising him.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a wage coming in. How did you manage to feed the two of you on £10 a week? That is such a small amount of money.
It wasn't a conscious decision initially. Initially, it was a case of I realised I had no money left in my bank account, no food in the fridge. So I went around my flat and I scraped up all the change that I could find from the backs of sofas, coat pockets, you know, that kitchen drawer that's full of stuff. And it came to about £6. So I went to my supermarket at the end of the road and I went and bought everything I could in the value range with that £6 and adding it up. So I went round, took it home, put it all on the ledge and realised, actually, I've been cooking for years. This is familiar to me. I've got rice, I've got tomatoes, I've got beans, I've got chocolate, I can make a chilli, I've got more tomatoes, I've got pasta, I can make a simple pasta sauce. And I took what I knew and just applied it to what I could afford. A little trial and error and experiments here and there, but you know, I'm still cooking to those principles, using simple, basic ingredients, but, you know, I can create hundreds of recipes out of them.
You did use food banks, I think, when you were really rock bottom.
Yeah. There was
what difference did that make?
It made a huge difference to my budget. The my local food bank I used for about 6 months. I was referred there by a children's centre I attended with my son. And the difference was they give you 5 items of food and unlimited fruit and vegetables. And it was the fruit and vegetables that was really helpful, because in the supermarkets they can be quite expensive to buy fresh on a limited budget. So that opened me up to being able to cook other things and different things for myself and my son, because I had those additional items. And then there were some weeks when I had a lot of debts, and there were some weeks when the debts would come out and I didn't even have that £10 a week for food, but I knew I could go along to the food bank and pick up 5 tins and fruit and veg and some rice and pasta, and that we'd muddle through, we'd be okay.
Now, I think you still advocate using tinned veg and supermarket own brand value foods like tomatoes or beans. How does the taste compare with the more expensive ones?
To be honest, I haven't had the more expensive ones for so long that I wouldn't know. But I say to people, you know, I call it downshifting. Downshift one brand. So if you normally buy the premium brand in the supermarket, buy the next one down and see if you notice a difference. But if it's a can of tomatoes and you're putting in a tagine or a stew or a curry, that can of tomatoes is just one item out of a smorgasbord of ingredients. And you're probably not going to notice the difference. I mean, the value ranges at the supermarkets are perfectly edible, perfectly safe, healthy food. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sold in the first place.
What are the basics, then, the real essentials that you have in your store cupboard? I mean, you said when you were rock bottom, you had rice, you had some tomatoes. What do you keep there all the time?
Tinned tomatoes. I actually go into a mild panic if I open my store cupboard and I don't have a tin of tomatoes in it. So if I've got tomatoes, I know I've got the basis for a meal, even if that's just going to be a tomato soup. So that's my comfort item. I know that I'm going to be okay. But I tend to keep a combination of carbs, cheap carbs like rice and pasta, tinned potatoes, store cupboard essentials like kidney beans, chickpeas, red lentils, all things that you can make the basis of a meal out of, that then you just need a few herbs and spices and some protein and you're away.
Now, you have been, I suppose I could call it, thrust into the spotlight and criticised by Little John and Edwina Curry on benefits and taking benefits and all of that. How have you coped with that, the criticism?
Well, I've had it for about a year now, so you gradually get quite thick-skinned, but initially it was all quite hurtful. I'm a person, and I think that people in the internet age where you're so accessible, people can seek out your Twitter handle and then just hurl abuse at you that in previous years they might have privately thought in their heads. Initially it's quite hard to handle. It upset me quite a lot. I felt like, you know, what was I doing wrong? All I was doing was sharing some cheap recipes with people to try and help them learn to cook and manage on a budget as well. And what person in their right mind would have an issue with that? But I've got thicker skin now and I can take criticism. I know that not everyone's going to agree with everything I say and do. And, you know, that's part of being a big girl. But it's, it still takes me by surprise sometimes, the level of hate and vitriol that people can level at somebody who really, you know, I've got a job now and I'm doing okay, and anyone that's followed my journey should be happy for that.
Now, I know that you didn't take the money for the Sainsbury ad, but donated it to Oxfam.
Yes.
Why?
My principle, and it's one that I've stuck to right from the start, of all of this, because I get approached by brands all the time saying, will you be our face? We do this, we do that. We'd love to send you some free butter or whatever. And I'm always like, no, because I don't use your products. And I think to myself, would I do this for free? So whenever anyone approaches me, will you speak at a conference or whatever, would I do this for free? Because if I do it for free, then I know that it's something that I believe in. And I was approached by other supermarkets before Sainsbury's, and, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds being hurled in my direction trying to tempt me over. And I said no, because I don't shop there and it's not honest. So when Sainsbury's turned up, I was like, well, it's only going to be doing for 40 seconds on the telly what I've been doing on my blog for the past 2 years, which is, hi, I'm Jack, I shop at Sainsbury's and this is what I do. So I said yes. But as soon as I detached myself from the financial side of it, in my head thought, well, I was willing to do it for nothing, I realised that I didn't want the money. I didn't want to do it for the money. So I took the living wage from it, because those 6 weeks were hard work of interviews and filming and bits and pieces, and I would advocate paying anybody the living wage for the amount of work that I did, and gave the rest away, because I didn't want to be doing it for the money.
And one day will your son say, Mum, why didn't you take all that money?
Well, I'll try and explain it to him as best I can. I think my friends will think I'm a special kind of bonkers, but I'm, you know, I earn my living as a writer and as a journalist, not as a paid face of anything.
Is that falafel nearly
It's
done?
Almost done. It's almost done. I'll just fry
all right,
it up.
Well, I'm going to try it later when Excellent. It's thoroughly fried. Jack Monro, thank you very much. I will try it shortly.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.